Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful tonight for this opportunity you have given us to meet at this place and time and to hear the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, proclaimed. We're thankful, Lord, for the power of the gospel, which is able to lead a man into salvation and then into the righteousness that you have made affordable to us through your Son, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pray for Brother Francis tonight, that Brother Francis preach the gospel, that he teach us those tenets as they pertain to Jesus, a suffering Savior who hung on a cross, who died and was buried in a borrowed tomb and was resurrected the third day. Pray that Brother Francis talk about that institution, that great kingdom he built, the Church of Christ. Pray, Lord, that someone tonight in the midst of our turmoil in this nation is searching for truth, is searching for the peace that can only be found through your Son, Jesus. Pray, Lord, that you bless us with the increase. Pray, Lord, that many souls are edified, encouraged, and put their hope and trust in you and through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your eternal word, the Bible. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. We are very thankful to have each and every person on tonight, especially those of you who are not members of the Church of Christ. You are very honored guests, and we pray that you will take your Bible and follow along tonight with our speaker and the person, Brother Nathan Franson. Brother Nathan Franson currently serves as the pulpit minister for Mariposa Avenue Church of Christ in Citrus Heights, California. He's a graduate of the Memphis School of Preaching. Interestingly, he grew up in Salt Lake City and studied his way out of the errors of the Mormon faith, and has authored a book, Breaking the Chains. It's an interesting background. I wanted to feed with you there, because the topic we've given him about the gospel being here, many people don't know the truth. Obviously, he was shown the light, and I thank God to have him on our call in Mariposa, Church of Christ, there in Citrus Heights, if you ever in that area. This is a sound congregation. His elder will be on tomorrow night. We're giving the theme this month. It's sounding the trumpet. Sounding the trumpet tonight, Brother Francis. Go ahead and sound your trumpet about the gospel being here.
Thank you very much. Well, it's great to be back on the program. I was on here not too long ago, and it's always a pleasure to be with everyone. Let me start just before we get into all of this, that I am not familiar with everyone's spiritual state who is calling in tonight. And so if you do hear something, I know they've mentioned it before, but if you hear something in which you have a question, even if there's a disagreement, I never get upset if there are disagreements with it. What I do ask is that we can sit down and reason through the scriptures together and look at what the Bible has to say about all things. That is the authority. And I always tell people here at the congregation and those with whom I study that it doesn't matter what I say, it matters what God says through his word. And so that is the most important thing, and especially as we look at a subject like this tonight. It's interesting. I wasn't going to mention this, but we know that the chaos and the stress and everything that happened throughout the day today, and it's interesting that they gave me this, because I think this subject is so timely when you start looking at situations like this. I mean, this is a time where the gospel really is needed in the world, and this is a time to look at that gospel. And first off, as we're going to be looking at the gospel, that word gospel means the good news, and that's exactly what we need right now, is the good news. What is going to help us? Because we know that there's a lot of things that are really weighing on our minds, and there are things that are burdening us right now with all of these different restrictions and the lockdowns. And here in California, we have an excessive amount of these lockdowns and restrictions. But I am mindful that people do get stressed and they do get concerned and they worry and wonder if we're going to get through this and how we're going to get through this for the next little while. And there is no better place you can go than the Word of God. It's interesting with the title that they gave me, "Sounding the Trumpet About the Gospel Being Hid." What do they mean by being hid? It really is a curious subject when you look at everything that has been written about the gospel, everything that has been written about God's word in the past, both in the New Testament and going back to the Old Testament. When you look back at Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9, of course, Jeremiah is a prophet and writes a lot about the captivity, and he's known as the weeping prophet, and he feels so deeply about the Jewish people, about those who were taken away in captivity, and he was emphatic about, you know, what he preached to them and what he let them know to try to bring them out of that and try to get their mindset back on God. But in chapter 20 and verse 9 of Jeremiah, he says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But look at this right here. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary of holding it back, and I could not." In other words, he's saying, I wanted to do away with all of this. Jeremiah was, I think, was getting so exhausted by this time, but he said, "I can't stop preaching the word of God. I cannot stop letting people know about, you know, what God has told us to do." And you couple that with what we find in the New Testament. If you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul writes, you know, these letters to Corinth. And, of course, Corinth was a very interesting place. It was known to be a very corrupt place. The people there were very divisive. And, you know, my guess is that a lot of the mindset was probably not far off from what we have seen even today. And Paul was able to go in there, though, and through communicating in the right ways and having patience with people and looking at them and loving them and realizing, you know, their background. Paul was, you know, it was always interesting, I think, when Paul would preach or when he would teach, no matter where he went, and he went to a lot of different places, but he would always meet people where they are, and he understood and tried to get down to understand why they felt like they did, but at the same time trying to pull them up to where Christ was, and that he knew that's where they needed to be. But he, you know, and there were times that he had to be stern. He had to rebuke people. He had to, you know, he told Timothy to reprove and to rebuke with all longsuffering. But he also said to encourage. And so Paul was a very balanced preacher. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16, he says, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. And yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." And so Paul again, you know, Paul is very expressive in this. He says, "I need to preach the gospel that was given to us. I cannot, you know," he says, "woe is me if I don't preach this gospel." And when you look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 20, we see an account here with Peter and John. Of course, Luke is the author of the book of Acts. But he's talking about Peter and John right here, and he says, "We cannot speak, but speak the things which we have seen and heard." They could not hold it inside. And you get to Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, and it says, "But the Lord said to him," this is referring to Ananias. This whole account right here is when Paul was on that Damascus road, and of course, he's visited by Christ. Christ tells him, here's what I want you to do. Notice, he wasn't saved at that point. A lot of people, I think, get confused sometimes about at the point that Saul of Tarsus was converted to Christ. But you notice, Christ did not say, "You are now saved." Saul of Tarsus never said, he never asked Christ to just come into his heart. But in fact, and Christ tells him on that road, he says, "I want you to go into Damascus, and I want you to look for a man, Ananias. And he's going to tell you what to do." And of course, he goes into Damascus, and he talks to Ananias, and that's where Ananias tells him, "Saul, what are you waiting for? Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And that is when Paul finally understood. But in this whole thing, he says in verse 15, says, "But the Lord said to him," referring to Ananias, "Go, for he," Paul, "is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, before the kings, and the children of Israel." Paul, of all people, the one whose blood of so many Christians was on his hands, was going to be that vessel that God would use, putting him in place as an apostle. And he would be the one making that amazing transition that he did to become an apostle and to shift gears and to start preaching to the people. But he says he's going to preach before the Gentiles. He's going to preach before the kings and the children of Israel. And so you look at all of these and how they're coupled, and, you know, and looking at what the title of this all is, that, you know, to sound the trumpet about the gospel being hid. What is it, you know, what does it all mean then for the gospel to be hid? How can the gospel be hid? and who would be the one hiding it? Well, that brings us to the key text is what we're going to be looking at tonight, and that is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is the second letter that Paul wrote to Corinth, and he starts out in chapter 4. He says, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart." This is an interesting way of, you know, that he says right here. You know, God's mercy enabled him to preach. And Paul is ultimately saying right here that he said, God, you know, God gave me this mercy, but I'm not going to take advantage of what this mercy was. He says, you know, I'm not, he was, this is not what Paul was, what his intentions was to do with the gospel. And so while God's mercy enabled him to preach, doesn't mean that he would ever take advantage of it, doesn't mean that he would ever do anything other than make sure that people needed to hear it. And that's exactly what he did. Paul tells us how, you know, as we go through this, how to properly and responsibly handle New Testament teaching. You get into verse 2, and this is really where it starts to, really where you start to peel away the intentions of Paul's heart right here and just what kind of a preacher he really was. In verse 2, you look at this, it says, "But we have renounced the hidden things of shame." That word shame is dishonesty in the King James Version. Paul says, "We have renounced the hidden things of sin." And then notice, this is the antithesis to what the previous verse said. He says, you know, we have this ministry, we've received mercy, but we do not lose heart. He said, but we have renounced the hidden things. In other words, we have the mercy of God, but we still are not going to mishandle what he has given us to teach. Paul would not use any human gimmicks. He would not use any devices like false teachers were using at that time. Remember, there's a lot of false teaching going around with these Judaizing teachers. The Pharisees were present at that time, and they were teaching falsely. In fact, a lot of people at that time were very carnally minded in the way that they taught and the way that they would receive different religious teaching. But Paul said, we're going to renounce the hidden things of shame. We're going to renounce this dishonesty. Now, you think of this, how interesting it is that he would say that even at that time, because there's so much application that we can make that today. You think of that day compared to what it is today. How many, you know, when you think, how many churches are out there? Now, I asked this to a young man I've been studying with this week. How many churches do you think are present? And he tried to process it, and just there's so many, literally thousands of churches that are out there right now. Now, knowing that, have you ever wondered how new religions begin? New religions begin somewhere with some way of thinking. So you think someone comes up with a new idea, and this new idea is very attractive, and they have to build it up to be an attractive. You know, as I look through this, I can't help but to look to my own background. Because I came out of, as was mentioned, I came out of the Mormon church. And that whole church was structured upon a young man who had these wild ideas. And it was something completely different than what the Bible was teaching. But nonetheless, he comes up with this new idea. And that's exactly how new religions begin. Someone comes up with it, and it seems attractive to people. They create a name for this because they need something. They teach what they know is not honest biblical context, and then they, you know, and eventually that becomes a new religion. Many of you are probably familiar with a man named L. Ron Hubbard. L. Ron Hubbard is the founder of the Church of Scientology. Back in 1948, though, he's at a meeting with the Eastern Science Fiction Association, and they're talking about, you know, before Scientology, by the way, L. Ron Hubbard was a science fiction writer. He would write a lot of these short stories and try to sell them off. Well, there wasn't a lot of money in all of these stories. And he was at this convention talking to a group of people, and the conversation came up of how much he was getting paid for all of these. And it came out that he only got paid maybe a penny per story, which really is not a lot, not even that time. And he tells them, "You don't get rich writing science fiction." He says, "If you want to get rich, you start a religion." And he tells them that they can make millions starting a new religion. And that's exactly what he did. A few years later, the Church of Scientology was established. that is exactly how a lot of these religions take place. They're, you know, they have to have the roots somewhere. And it's someone usually with an idea that has nothing to do with Scripture. And it's the very thing that Paul had warned time and time again. If you look over at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, remember, Timothy is this young preacher. He's being mentored by Paul. He accompanied Paul to a lot of the different areas that he would teach. And Paul writes these two letters to Timothy, very fond of Timothy, very confident in what Timothy could do. And he tells him in 2 Timothy 4 and 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now, why did he have to tell him this? You look at the previous verse that sets this up, and he says, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why do you have to be longsuffering? And he explains it. He says, because the time is going to come because when they're not going to endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they're going to heap up for themselves teachers. And they're going to turn their ears away from the truth, and they're going to be turned aside unto fables. They're going to come up with all of these ideas that sound so good that people are going to follow them right out of what the church is going to be. That word fables, by the way, it's the Greek word mythos. It's where we get the word mythology. They're fake stories. But people are become so enamored by these stories, so enamored by what these preachers are saying and teaching, that he tells Timothy, you mark my word, this is why you have to rebuke, because this is what's going to happen. These people are going to be led right into all of that. And folks, that's what is happening today. That is why it is so important to grab onto the gospel, to grab onto what the Bible has to say, and don't let go. When you find out the truth about something, hang on to it, and don't be compromised, don't be persuaded by anything else. But Paul goes on with this. He says in verse 2 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Paul had experience with this, and in fact, when he went to Ephesus, it's something very similar to what he told the elders. Remember, in Acts chapter 20, he's preaching in Ephesus, and just before he leaves, he gathers all of the leaders together. He gathers the elders of the church together, and here's what he tells them in verse 28. He says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And he tells them, shepherd the church of God. Right here. Folks, that you notice the church that he mentions right here, there's no sign of any other church. They didn't have to ask him which church, Paul. There was no question about what church was present at that time. Friends, this is the only church that you should ever be focused on being a part of, is the one that Paul is talking about right here. He says, be mindful. He says, heed to yourselves, to all the flock, who made your overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. There's only one church that Christ ever purchased with his blood, and that is the church, his church. And he says, for I know this. Here's why you need to do this. That after my departure, you mark my words, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And also from among yourselves, men are going to rise up, and they're going to speak perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. And therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. He says this is, you know, he made it, that was the priority for him. He said, for 3 years I sat here and I preached to you and I taught you, and this is exactly why it was so important for you to hear this, and it's because when I leave, there are going to be false teachers that come in. They're going to people that come in, and they're going to try to take you right out of the hands of God, and they're going to do it by any means necessary. We have that same threat in the world today that is taking people out of the hands of God. They're confusing a lot of people. Those who are not in Christ, those who are not Christians, or part of the church of Christ, the one that he built, they're being confused by so many different conflicting doctrines and so many different theologies and faith systems. And it's exactly what Paul was Paul was talking about, he said, you mark my word, that's what's going to happen. You look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. He tells Timothy in his first letter, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, the times that we're in right now, he said, some are going to depart from, look at this right here, the faith. He didn't have to try, he didn't have to go on and expound on what the faith was. He'd already set that up. There was only one faith that was in that was being presented at that time by Paul and other gospel preachers, those who worked with him. He didn't have to say, well, remember, this is the faith that, you know, for this religion here or this religion here. There was only one faith. First, he sets it up as being one church. Understand that? And he sets up the one faith with that church. And he says, in latter times, some are going to depart from that faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. That's why Paul was able to say that, you know, he was not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, because he understood what that one faith is. That is my responsibility for eternal life, is to find out what that faith is and what it's all about. That is your responsibility, to look in the Bible and see what that faith is. No man can give it to us. It is only found by what has been revealed by God. And he says, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And then he says, but the antithesis to what in verse 2 right here. And so he says, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation or clear display of the truth. Paul refuses to tamper with God's words. Well, what truth is he talking about right here? See, you know, we have these words that keep coming up that are so important. Don't just sidestep them. The faith is mentioned. The truth is mentioned. What truth? You look at John 17, and we see what truth this is. In John chapter 17 and verse 16, he says, they are not of this world. He's speaking of those who are following him. He says, they're not of this world, just as I am not of this world. And he says, sanctify them by your truth. These are the words of Christ right here. He says, sanctify them, set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. The words of Christ, the words of God that God has given to us, is the only truth that will ever be able to save us. Paul refuses to tamper with that truth. He refuses to tamper with God's word. And he would openly and honestly declare what had been revealed to him. And he goes on. He says, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. They were his priority. Every person, you know, when you look at Paul and the way he preached, he was so dedicated. And every town that he visited, and every group of people that he spoke to, and every person he spoke to individually, it, you know, it's as if they were his own world. I've known preachers in my time that I am so thankful to know, and they were such a great encouragement, because when they were talking to you, you felt like you were the only one that was in their world. You were the most important thing that they were talking to right at that moment. That's what was happening with Paul. He made them his priority because he cared about souls the way that Christ cares about your soul. You are that important to him. And if you would have been living at that time, imagine an apostle talking to you directly like this. He tells them that he says, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. When you look back at Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 26, he says, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. Why? Because I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. That was so important for Paul. He needed them to know that everything that he was teaching, he was not holding back. He was not deceitful. He was not trying to manipulate it in any way. He said, I have not shun to declare to you the entire counsel of God. It's why Paul was able to say also, as we see in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. There it is again. That good news. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's that one gospel, and it's the same gospel that declares the one church. It's the same gospel that states in order for the Lord to add you to that one church that you need to be baptized and repent, as we see in Acts 2:38. It's the same gospel that declares to you that you need to believe and be baptized in order to be saved, as we see in Mark 16:16. That's the good news right there. God says, I want you to be saved, and here's how to do it. He will never, ever leave anything unturned for us. He will never hide anything from us. And Paul said, that is exactly what I need to do. We're not going to renounce this. Friends, the gospel is purposed to be clear and utilized. But here's the thing. No one can force you to follow it. And that's what sets up these next couple of verses right here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, and here's kind of the crux of what we're looking at with the title. Paul says, but even if our gospel is veiled, hid, as it says in the King James Version, even if our gospel is hidden, you know, it's interesting because you look back at verse 2 and says, well, we have renounced the hidden things of shame, but then you get right here and he says, but even if our gospel is veiled, even if our gospel is hid, it is hid to those who are perishing. This is where it really starts to, this is where really the smoke starts to settle. And we're able to see clearly with what it means to for the gospel to be hid. He says, even if our gospel is hid, it is hid to those who are perishing, whose minds, the God of this age is a reference to Satan right here, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. He says, we're not going to preach deceitfully. He says, but instead we're going to make the gospel very clear. But if our gospel is hid, it's hid to those who don't want to accept. It's hid for those whose minds the God of this age, Satan, has blinded. Our gospel is hid, it says, who do not believe, those who are lost, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. That's exactly what Satan doesn't want. That's why he's trying to do this. Folks, the God of this age, Satan, does not want you to have that light that Paul talks about. And he is going to do everything that he possibly can to shade the gospel. And those who do not believe are those who are not baptized. They're the ones who are lost. They're the ones who are blinded by the adversary. I want to encourage you tonight, do not ever close yourself off from studying what the Bible has to say. Your eternal life depends on it. Don't ever hide that gospel. You're the one that is able to hide that. You know, sort of the same premise as Moses and the Pharaoh when Moses says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. It wasn't God who strategically tried to harden Pharaoh's heart. His heart was hardened because of what God stood for and because of the commandments that God gave, and Pharaoh didn't want to listen to it. You're the only ones who can hide that. Don't do that. In the world today, and especially in the world, we see why the gospel is needed so urgently. And it's interesting as you go through and you start reading the Bible and you start studying it. It happened for me, and I know it's happened to a lot of different people. Reading the Bible may show you something different than what you've been taught or understood. Embrace that and honestly seek to find out why it's different than what you might have been taught. There's nothing wrong in looking at that and realizing, hey, this is different. That's what the gospel is designed to do, is to change us. God wants us to be changed. God wants us to become His. He wants us to leave the world, to leave where we might have come from, and to be in His presence. There is no better place to be than to have that relationship with Christ. To be lost is to enter eternity condemned with no hope of going back. Folks, there are no do-overs after this life. There's no going back and looking and wishing, or trying to do it over again, to try to make those decisions over. Study God's Word to get closer to Him, which gets you closer to heaven. If you have questions tonight about anything that you might have heard, if you even disagree, as I said at the top, please don't hesitate to let us know. Let someone know. Let's have a discussion about this. If a member of a denomination, if you're a member of a denomination or another church, let's see if that's what the Bible teaches. We know that there's only one church that we see, as Paul has described in there, and it's not a denomination. Let's look at it. Let's sit down and let's see what the Bible has to say about it. The Word of the Lord, if we are open to follow it, illuminates the path to Christ. He lights our way the way that Paul describes it right here. I want to encourage you tonight to open your Scriptures and to see what God has revealed for us. If you're not a part of the Church of Christ, and you believe something different and you're confident about that, well, then it should add up. But as you study further and further, be open and honest and sincere in your study, and you will be amazed at what the Word of God can do in your life. I want to thank you for listening, and if you have any questions, again, please let us know. But we're praying for you, and may the Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother Francis, and we appreciate you so very much. Exactly what I wanted from this assignment I gave you there. The trumpet needs to be sounded. If it ever needs to be sounded, now's the time, y'all. Jesus said there would be a straight and narrow way, and few would find it. And so we wanted you to know this truth that he's taught tonight. You're not a member of the Church of Christ. We speak the truth in love. We want to be saved ourselves. We know we cannot be guilty of adding to God's word or taking away from it. If you're on the call tonight and you've been touched by the message and you want to be baptized, you want to become a member of that one true church, we pray that you'll get back with the person who invited you to hear this message tonight, a member of the Church of Christ, I'm sure, and ask them to take you to be baptized or take you for further studies. If they can't do that, you get in touch with us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And even if you have a question for Brother Francis, we'll make sure we get that to him, and I know he'll be willing and would love to be able to answer any questions that you may have. And so we're thankful for him. So we pray you would consider the things that we're taught tonight. And believe the Bible over yourself. Believe the Bible over us. Make sure it's the Bible, that you believe in the Word of God. And so we thank you for listening. Now, if you want to go and listen again to this message, it's recorded, as well as all of our speakers are recorded every night. It'll be on our website at hollandheightscoc.net. That's hollandheightscoc.net. And you go to Nationwide Gospel Meeting, and there, that tab there will take you to all of our speakers, all of the topics, different topics are on there. You can go if you have more questions about the Church of Christ. But anything we believe, I think we've covered all the topics multiple times on some of them. The basics of what we're trying to teach on this call is the basics of what one must do to avoid losing their precious soul. So let's pray to God. Our Father, thank you for your blessings of life. Thank you for Jesus, your Son. We know you loved us because you gave your best. You gave Jesus the Christ, your only begotten Son. He then in turn obeyed your will and gave his life, which was crucified on the cross of Calvary. And there he shed the blood that washed our sins away in baptism. The same blood purchased his church, the one we can read about, the only one in the Bible, the church that wears his name, the Church of Christ. And we thank you for our visitors, Father. We pray you would bless them to understand that we are speaking the truth in love, that we pray their hearts will be open to receive your word with meekness, understand it's able to save their souls. We love you, Father. We thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're off to a great start for January 2021. Wow, what a great kickoff from Anchorage, Alaska. Brother Jalen Jackson, then he's the elder, and then Brother Tony Cloud, the preacher from that congregation, came on last night. Now, tonight, the preacher from Citrus Heights, California, Mariposa Church of Christ, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, he's on. But Francis, not his first time being on our call. We're so delighted to have him on the call, and that message was very good, very good tonight. Now, that's, we signed that text, and his one of the elders there that served with him at that congregation, he's going to continue that discussion about them that are lost. Life said, "My gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost. And when God of this world has blinded their mind, that's the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto the end." We're trying to shine that gospel light through this call. If you're in darkness, this light will show you the way to salvation. We look forward to hearing from Brother Charles Gregory. And if you're ever in Citrus Heights, California, this is a sound congregation. If you travel, make sure you visit with them. And then closing us out this week, the preacher from East Jackson Church of Christ in Jackson, Tennessee, Brother LaBelle Hayes, will come on, and he will sound his trumpet about Jesus the Christ. And then on Monday night, his one of the elders that served with him, the elders and preachers and we serve together in the churches of Christ. Not a big I, a little you. We all got a responsibility that we try to carry out our individual responsibilities. That is to save souls and keep them saved. Amen. So we hope you'll join us tomorrow night. We're so thankful to have so many. We have a large call. I don't know if it's the New Year or it's the older preacher combination that's doing it, but we're thankful to have so many new callers on our call. We ask all the preachers that are listening, this is a great opportunity for you to use a free gospel meeting with some great gospel preachers. We don't have that to happen too often. And we know we're doing a great work. And we thank y'all for supporting us. Thank those who prayed for us. And thank those who've encouraged us to continue this effort. Thanks for those who financially supported us. And thank those who just have been faithful. Some of you have attended every night since the month of May. Boy, that's commendable, I tell you. We just thank you all so very much. We hope you have a good night's rest. We love you. Good night.